Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And now it's time for us to get into our Bible lesson, and we are looking at the book of Leviticus, and today we're on chapter 12. We're joined on the line by Pastor Babaloke Moseke, who will be speaking to us and guiding us through the chapter. My Pastor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us today. We are looking at chapter 11 of the book of Leviticus. If you would just open for us in prayer before you then take us through what the chapter is saying to us.
All right. We will pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace and for being with us. Thus far, we pray that you be with us now as we look at your word and help us to learn the lessons you have for us in it. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, we're on chapter 12. Please take us through. What are the lessons for us in this chapter?
All right. Basically, the chapter has eight verses, and these are the main points of the chapter. Mm-hmm. It talks about purification of the childbirth. And this is in regard to the ceremonial laws that were given to the children of Israel by Moses, mm-hmm. or through Moses, rather. And basically, we see two things there that are outstanding. The first is that when a woman gives birth to a son, she's considered ceremonially unclean for 7 days, followed by 3 days of purification. So that would mean like 40 days in total. And then for a daughter, the period of uncleanness is 14 days, double of that. And then for that, that is followed by 66 days of purification. So basically, there is that is what is outstanding. Mm. And then at the end of the purification period, the mother must bring a burnt offering, either a lamb or a pigeon or a turtle dove, and a sin offering also. This depends on the economic status. If the family is poor, then they can just bring turtle doves instead of a lamb. And they see this happening in the life of Jesus. His parents brought two turtle doves, actually, because mm-hmm. they were poor. Okay. And they followed that ceremonial law. So basically, that's what the chapter is. Just reading it from Facebook, that's what it talks about.
Yes. All right. So how does that then apply to us? Because we are not doing that. Thank God.
Yeah.
But what was the meaning? What was the significance of these rituals, and how does that apply to us today?
Now, we need to appreciate the historical context and significance, mm-hmm. and then we can actually look at the applications or lessons you can draw from it.
Sure.
There is the aspect of the cultural and theological setting. Mm-hmm. Now, as I said, the laws were given to the Israelites as part of ceremonial laws that were given through Moses, mm-hmm. so that they could maintain what is called ceremonial purity and also highlight the concept of holiness in all aspects of life. Now, childbirth is a natural thing and it's a blessing.
Yeah.
And that being the case, it involves blood. Mm-hmm. And there is this law or this rule in Leviticus about blood. Mm-hmm. I mean, blood in that context, in how they were structured, was regarded, as something that is sacred, could either make someone clean or unclean, depending on the context. Mm, mm-hmm. And the blood that was accepted in the sanctuary was the blood of a sin offering or a peace offering.
Yes.
So that is what was accepted. Any other blood was not. Mm-hmm. And this is to teach a lesson of holiness. It was to teach a lesson of holiness so that people don't get things mixed. We see in the book of Leviticus because people are getting things mixed. Mm-hmm. A typical example of that is that of the sons of Aaron.
Yeah.
They used common fire instead of holy fire.
Yeah.
I mean, to them, it's just fire. Just fire.
Fire, you know? Is fire.
So God wanted to teach. Yeah, God wanted to teach people that no, there is a difference between that blood and this blood. So they were taught. They were given this so that they can it can be clear in their minds that, okay, there is a distinction. Even though birth is a natural thing and it's a blessing from God, but God wanted it to be very clear to them so that they don't get things mixed up. And when you look at the offerings themselves, they symbolize they foreshadowed Christ. They foreshadowed Christ. Every sacrifice that he read of in the book of Leviticus or in the Old Testament points to Christ ultimately. You know, it foreshadowed the sacrifice of Christ for sin and uncleanness, and that it is through him that we are purified from sin, and that it is through him that we are actually cleansed. So all those they pointed to Christ. And now, what are the spiritual lessons? What can we learn from it? Number one, we learn the issue of the fact that we need to just remind us believers of the pervasive impact of sin and the need for cleansing, which is fulfilled through Christ. And this is to say that, you know, as I said, that death involves blood. Also, it's a natural thing. And in the book of Leviticus, they had to do that cleansing and all that. It speaks to how pervasive sin is to even the basic aspects of human nature. So that even when a child is born, they needs to be something set for them to begin life on a new plate. I mean, the child did not do anything wrong. The mother, by virtue of having a child, that itself is not a sin. But it just shows that, you know, sin is so invasive such that
It's in our
awareness
DNA.
of its pervasive, yes. Awareness of its pervasiveness and the awareness of its degrading nature should be impressed upon the minds at an early stage. And the cleanness and the purity that God offers and that God brings also should be impressed upon the minds at an early stage.
Hey.
So that's what we get from this.
Wow.
And then, of course, you know, we have the aspects. These are basically things that even although we don't do what they do, but there's this issue of rest and health that is very involved. When a woman gives birth, they put them in accouchment, you know, we put them aside and we let them rest for some time. Now, this was, you know, emphasizing that need for when a woman is given birth, let them rest, let them recuperate. They can't just up and go and operate like it's normal. You know, it's not business as usual. Now, as for the differences between the genders, it's a debatable issue, but when you look at the biological aspect, just from a scientific point of view, you have more chances of getting a girl child than a boy child. So I think it speaks to that, the differences. I'm just conjecturing here. But besides that, you see that in the book of Leviticus, also in the book of Exodus, you know, going through the first 5 books of Moses, God claims the firstborn son, and he claims sons to come into his service, either at the sanctuary or serving in the army, always wherever there is more work. It seems like the male child is the one who's sent to do that. You could speak to that as to why their period is shorter than that of the girl child. And we see here, I want to emphasize that we see here that there is a protection. Even the Old Testament speaks to the protection of the girl child. I mean, 14 days, 66 days, the lady is just resting. Whereas for the boy child, 7 days is enough. That's very interesting. So I think those are the aspects that we can get, or the lessons we can get from the differences in the gender and the fact that they had these different periods of purification and rest and accouchment.
What I find so interesting, Pastor, is the detail the amount of detail that goes into not even just this, even going into the previous chapters as well, there's so much detail that is put into these laws. You know, if it's a girl, then this much. Then if it's a boy, then that. And then this is the, after this many days, then you must come to the temple and give the priest kind of a sacrifice. And there's so much detail, which speaks to how specific God is about his requirements. Because I think we live in a generation that's very much like, eh, whatever you want. It's all right. Anything is okay. Anything goes. And we have become...
the age of nativity. Yes. Okay,
that's it, exactly. And we've become like the sons of Aaron, where we're just like, ah, whatever. Fire is fire. Offering is offering. Music is music. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
And so looking at how specific God is, I think is a, that's such a lesson for us. When we bring our offerings to God, we must ask, before we even bring it, I think it's safe to ask God, what would you like me to bring? What do you want me to offer to you? Because I think it's presumptuous for us to just come and give him and say, ah, this is what I have, you know?
And you bring it up a very important point that to God being specific also requires of us to inquire from him with regards to whatever we need to do for his service or in his service. Not just saying that we are doing it because, you know, we have to get exactly what he wants to do. So that we don't do our own things and say, no, I'm just doing it for God. While we know that for our own sake.
Yeah, that's a lesson. And, you know, that's a good lesson. Thank you so much, Pastor. Any final thoughts on this chapter before we wrap things up?
What I would like to say is that the book of Leviticus is a very interesting book. I mean, it's more of a manual to the priests, more of a manual to the children of Israel, but there are very important lessons. And the lessons that we get overall from the book of Leviticus are lessons on holiness, lessons on the sacrifice of Christ or Christ in our lives. And then also there is an emphasis on hygiene. I mean, the principles, I think we'll see this on Wednesday when we talk about some another chapter. The principles that we use today, even in as far as health is concerned, they are derived from this book. So it's not a book that we can just say, look, you know what? It's an Old Testament book. We have nothing to do with it. I think there are many, many important lessons for us. Although we are not doing the rituals and the ceremonial law and all that, but there are important aspects and principles that we can derive from the book for us today. And so I would encourage the listeners to make sure that they study the book, read the book, and you know, join us in these conversations, listen in so that we can gain insights from the book together and see how we can apply it on a day-to-day basis, wherever it ensues. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We really appreciate your time. God bless you. We'll connect again on Wednesday.
All right. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.